We are going to look at the idea that God is worth the wait. And I don't know about you, but in the middle of Christmas time, waiting can be so difficult. I can be so impatient, but He is so worth the wait. So I hope you are excited to hear from Him today. We're excited for you guys to be here. I am a person who does not like to wait. I think some people might even say that I am an impatient person. I think there's a lot of us in this room that maybe we fit into that in one way, shape, form, or fashion. We don't like waiting. We are impatient. And when people tell us to be patient, we just kind of want them to go ahead and leave. But we get into the Christmas season, and the Christmas season is about waiting, right? And I know it's not ideal. Most of us don't like to wait. Waiting is torture. We have children that are on both sides of us right now who have, for the last maybe several weeks, if you're something other than us, have presents underneath the tree that they can't get to, that they haven't been able to open, but they know that they're there for them, and they haven't been able to get to them, and they're just absolutely going nuts trying to figure out what's inside those pretty packages. In the past few weeks, there's been a lot of waiting for us. If you follow me on social media, you might have seen that Patricia, my wife, was in the hospital a couple weeks ago. She went in with severe abdominal pain and went in on Monday evening at 5:30 p.m., and it took 12 hours before they were able to bring her back and be seen by someone in the emergency room. So 5:30 p.m. to 5:30 a.m., overnight in the emergency room, sitting there just in excruciating pain, watching all of the fun stuff that happens in the emergency room overnight, right? And, you know, that's a waiting game that most of us don't want to play. We don't like that kind of waiting. And things have worked out. She ended up having emergency surgery, and she has recovered and is recovering. But that was a time, especially in that one, where it was just like, when are we going to be seen? What is going to happen? And then even when they decided, you know what, you're going to have surgery. This is emergency surgery. It was like 6 or 7 hours later before that finally happened. So it was the waiting of that was so, was almost as bad as the pain. We had other waiting opportunities as well. My son decided, he's 13 years old, he's in seventh grade, he decided he wanted to wrestle this year. And so we have been a lifelong football family. He's played football since he was in kindergarten. And so we thought we had the understanding of what happens with some of these other sports. You know, it's just like another sport, right? And so yesterday, he had to be at the school at 6 o'clock in the morning so that he could go to weigh-ins. The first wrestling match was supposed to happen at 9 o'clock, but he had a first-round bye, and so he didn't take the mat for the first time until 10:30. I am not a morning person to begin with, but to have to be up and wait and then get him there and then just sit there while they go through all that stuff, there are 4.5 hours of other things that I wished I was doing yesterday morning other than waiting for him to wrestle, right? For some of us, it just doesn't come naturally. Some people, maybe they loved being in the gym and smelling all those stinky boys and drinking their coffee and doing that stuff. But for me, it was not. That was not the most enjoyable part of my day. Waiting and being patient is not something that comes naturally. I don't know how many of you guys play this game around the holiday time. It's one that they like to play at my in-laws' house. They say we're going to eat at 3 o'clock. And at 4:30, I'm like, are we ever going to eat? A lot of our time consists of waiting. And for some of us, waiting is the make it or break it point. But I believe that when we are patient and we wait while we focus on the one who has perfect timing, we'll be rewarded in our faith. But that doesn't come naturally to us. You know, waiting is something that our society doesn't necessarily emphasize, right? We're told that you can lose 10 pounds in 10 days. Most of the times we gobble down our meal on the road when we're in between things. We take medicines that promise quick relief from whatever ails us. Slow traffic and slow people tend to frustrate us. If I'm mentioning these things more than once, it's not because they bug me, all right? We upgrade our computers or our phones so they can go faster and faster. And slow internet might be the things of purgatory for some of us, right? Because we just can't understand why the internet is so slow today, because we need to look up what Carrie Underwood wore to the AMAs, and we need to know right now. Waiting is something that is so difficult for us. I think even oftentimes when our prayers aren't answered when we think they should be answered, when it's not done on our time schedule, it boils down to the fact that many of us, myself included, we don't like waiting for anything or anybody. We want results, and we want results right now, and we want it on our own terms. But during the Christmas season and the season of Advent, it affords us the opportunity to exercise the virtue of patience. In the midst of the hustle and bustle of this frantic Christmas season, the church gives us the opportunity to slow down and reflect on the true meaning of the season. And this week we celebrate the coming of Jesus at his birth and the fact that he will come again one day, and we celebrate the fact that he died for us. We celebrate the many ways we meet him on a daily basis in our lives. But something we need to remember in the middle of all this, it takes patient waiting and a quiet spirit to discover God's presence in our daily lives. It takes patient waiting and a quiet spirit to discover God's presence in our daily lives. And now, more than ever, I think we need to seek out those quiet times when we can calm down and reflect on God's activity in our lives and in our world. And if you're anything like me, when things seem to be silent on God's end, when there seems to be no answer coming, when all seems lost, like there seems like there's nowhere to go, you often begin to wonder those big questions. One of the reasons I love working with middle school and high school students is most of the times they're not afraid to still ask these questions out loud. I think sometimes when we grow up a little bit, we don't want to ask these questions out loud because we don't want people to think we don't know the answers. But students, they'll ask these questions. They'll ask us, in the middle of all these things going on, is God even real? Does he listen to me when I'm praying? Does he listen to the things that are going on around me? Does he understand how this makes me feel? Does he get it? Does God even care? Right? And I think sometimes when it seems like God is silent, when God seems distant, in those times where we're having to wait and he's quiet, these questions creep into our minds and we begin to ask ourselves, why am I even putting effort into this whole Jesus thing? You know, am I just doing this because my parents brought me to church and I feel like I still need to live out the faith that they told me I needed to live? Why am I giving? Why am I serving? Why am I reading scripture? Why am I obeying? Why am I praying? Why don't I just live my life however I choose? Why don't I just go and party on the weekends? Do I not do these things because of fear of separation from God? Is this hope for the way I wish things were, rather than the reality of the way things actually are? So I set all of this up to say, for those of you guys who have ever considered giving up, about giving up on God, about throwing in the towel, about moving on, about wondering if God cares or if he even exists to care, those of you guys who are tired of waiting, I've got good news for you. You are not alone, and the very first Christmas is just for you. When it comes to patiently waiting, I think that there's a few things that we can learn from Luke chapter 1. Most of the times when we start talking about Christmas, we look a little further on, but I want to look in Luke chapter 1 this morning in this Christmas story and use the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth that can help challenge us during this time of Advent when we feel like the waiting game is up. There's four things I'd love for you guys to grab from this message in this time today. One, waiting needs to be accompanied by faithfulness. Waiting needs to be accompanied by faithfulness. I'll start the story in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. It says, when Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commands and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. And one day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priest, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. And while the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. And while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. And before we even start to talk about the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, I think we have to understand the implications of this story as it fits in the entire story of God. And that's been our theme for this year, right? If you've been with us, we've been talking about Genesis to Revelation, reading the Bible chronologically, seeing God at work throughout this story that we read in the Bible. And so as we look at this, we see some of these things come out. For example, one of the most respected Christmas passages comes out of the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. And in this passage, we read about in Luke 1, where we find the beginnings of John the Baptist. It's important to know that the people of Israel were already in a waiting game. And in order to understand the full extent of the Christmas season when it comes to patiently waiting, this story is deeper than simply the announcement of a baby. It's more than the announcement of John the Baptist. Then this interaction between Gabriel and Zechariah would break 400 years of silence between God and his people. And not only that, more than 2,000 years had passed from the promise of a Savior before that. They had been waiting for this moment, a monumental moment, for a long time. And I don't know about you, I don't know that I'd be able to take it. You know, I'm an impatient person. I wish I had more patience, and a lot of times I pray, God, give me patience and just give it to me right now, right? You want to know how good your patience is with someone? Maybe sometime this week, drive to Atlanta and go to this blue and orange store that says IKEA on the outside. First of all, if you don't get lost inside IKEA, that'll be a miracle to begin with. But go in there and try to find a piece of furniture that you guys want and then bring it home and try to put it together. When you go purchase something from IKEA, you get directions that look something like this. With great intentions of building something that looks like this, but ultimately the finished product looks something like this. Right? I firmly believe that putting together IKEA furniture should be a big part of all premarital counseling from now on. Because that brings out like all of the inner stuff in people, right? You see who someone truly is when you're like, will you just hold that piece? Where is that? You get to know who someone really is. Putting together IKEA furniture. We don't buy stuff from IKEA, by the way. There's a reason for that. You developed faith and trust with a person when you make it through that traumatic experience. You go on a journey putting together this furniture. And so back to the story. So the angel appearing was a huge, significant event. They have been patiently waiting, faithfully waiting on God. And while they were waiting, look at what was described about Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. While they were in the waiting game, while most people had lost hope in the promises that God had given his people, Zechariah and Elizabeth were both righteous in the sight of the Lord. Why? Because they were observing all the Lord's commandments and decrees blamelessly. It says all the commands, Old Testament law, and there were hundreds of laws about food and cleanliness and sacrificial laws that impacted every area of their life. And not only that, but they practiced these laws blamelessly. Mind you, they were keeping laws that were based on the promises that God gave hundreds and hundreds of years before them, and they remained faithful and active in their faith while they were waiting, week after week, year after year, as if they knew that Christmas was coming because they knew that God keeps his promises. They believed him when he said that a child would be born and a son would be given and his kingdom would last forever. So in this story, in this experience, we see not only would God break 400 years of silence, not only would he come through on the promise he made 2,000 years ago, not only would he give them a child even though they were barren, but it would be a child who would announce the kingdom of God is at hand, pointing the way to Jesus. I believe that waiting on the Lord necessitates two key elements. One, a complete dependence on God. And two, a complete willingness to allow him to decide the terms, including the timing of his plan. God's gift to us is eternity, and our gift to him is our faithfulness. Second thing I want you to grab real quick, waiting reminds us that God is in control. Story continues in verse 12. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks, so he's be filled with the Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with spirit and power, with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I am an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." I'm going to pause there for just a second, because this is a great question. And I like the way he frames it, and some of us could learn something from this. He says, "I'm an old man now," but he does not use that adjective to explain his wife. "My wife is well along in years." Remember that. Got it. But he says, "How can this happen?" And I think this is a question that I would be asking, and I do ask in the middle of the waiting game, in the middle of Advent, in the middle of a situation that seems to be hopeless. I would ask the exact same question that Zechariah asked of this angel. How can I know? How are you sure? You know, we've been waiting for so long. How do I know that this is real? Which, and I'm sorry to address it, but I think a lot of times over and over when it comes to waiting and praying and obeying God while we wait, we see it over and over in our lives, myself included, while we're praying and praying and praying. We try to be faithful. We pray, we read the scriptures, and we see what it says, and we're still waiting on answers. But sometimes, for some of us, we know what the scriptures say, and we know what the answer is. And it's in God's word, we just choose not to follow it because we don't happen to like what it says. For some of us in this room, we need to stop praying and waiting, but we need to keep praying and we need to begin obeying. We need to take Zechariah and Elizabeth's mentality and obey in faithfulness. Some of us already have the answer. God has already spoken to you through his word, but you need to obey. The story continues in verse 19. The angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It is he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Look at the last half of that sentence. "Will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time," or some translations say, "which will come true at their appointed time." Does this mean that God had marked this moment from the very beginning? That when things looked bleak, that he was still in control? Does it mean that God had a plan, that he knew exactly what he was doing? Do you mean that when things looked really bad in all those years, when God seemed to be silent, when he had a plan of deliverance for those who remained faithful? I think the answer is yes. A lot of us have been in those moments. "God, I'm waiting on you to move. God, I'm waiting on you to do this thing. God, I'm waiting on you to tell me where to go. God, I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting." And we get so frustrated because we want him to answer us, and we want him to answer us right now, and we want him to answer us with exactly what we want him to tell us, that we just get so flustered. But he has a plan. I love what C.S. Lewis writes in his book, Mere Christianity, when he talks about how God works and how it seems when we watch him work. And I'm quoting him here, "Imagine yourself as a living house, and God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps, you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right, and he's stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. And you knew those jobs needed doing, so you're not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abdominally and doesn't seem to make sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he's building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Throwing in a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage, but he's building a palace, and he intends to come and live in it himself." Like most of us have a certain idea of the way we think things should go. And we want it our way. And we sometimes think that that way is the best way. But when we wait, it forces us to understand that we're not really in control. And even when things seem out of control, the one who's holding everything together is in complete control. God is working on something even when we don't fully understand it. And ultimately, it will be better than what we even thought. I realized this in my own life when I stopped trying to control things because I'm impatient. And I give things over to the one who is in complete control, I can go through life a little more worry-free. And I think that happens because God is a deliverer of promises. The story continues in verse 21. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary. Remember, he was in there and everybody was waiting outside praying. And so they're waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why it's taken so long. In this whole story about waiting, here's a group of people who are impatient outside waiting for him to come out. And when he finally came out, he couldn't speak to them. And they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. And when Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." I believe that God was gearing up for what he had planned to do all along because he's a keeper of promises. Yes, we may have to wait. And yes, there are people who don't like to wait on anything, but when we wait, we realize it's not about us and that it's all about him. I believe that we see this first Christmas story is our story. We have been with Zechariah and Elizabeth all along, and we ask these questions: should I stay or should I go? Should I believe God is going to do something or not? Do we serve or do we do something else? Do we sacrifice or do we live for ourselves? Do we stay engaged or do we go on our way? And that patience is hard. When we patiently wait, when we live faithfully, it causes us to remember that we're not in control, but that God is in full control. And we have to remember that God is a keeper of promises and he never fails to come through. Things that were deemed dead and done, God with one word can bring them back to life. He's a master of bringing dead things to life. Things that we've given up on long ago because we felt the promise was never fulfilled, God can speak them to life. Because when God chooses and in his timing, and when we think he's gone, he shows that he's not done yet and he's the deliverer of promises. When God chooses to do so, he created the universe just by saying a word. He flooded the earth in 40 days with rain. He took millions of people out of slavery in Egypt. He split the Red Sea in half so his people could walk safely to freedom. He made food fall from heaven so that his people didn't starve. He used a shepherd boy with a rock and a slingshot to defeat a giant warrior. He took a blind person from birth, rubbed mud and spit together, and made him see again. He healed people using just the words that he said. And in Jesus, he came down from the heavens to be born as a baby, to die on a cross, to be our Savior. Because God can do astonishing and powerful and massive things, and he can do them in your life too. Don't give up on him because he is not done. When the temptation to quit is at its strongest, it's right about the time that God is about to move in great ways in your life. Are you waiting on him to answer or move in your life? He's not done yet. Have you asked him to do something and you're waiting for an answer? He's not done yet. Do you feel like you're in the waiting room like Trisha was for hours on end and you're just in pain and you don't know what's next and you're just waiting on relief and waiting for somebody to come and fix things? He's not done yet. And I don't know about you, but I can't help but feel like the last 21 months that we've gone through together is a lot like that. This pandemic time, I'm just waiting for God to say, "All right, we're done with that. We can move on." But it seems like around every corner, there's another variant, there's another issue, there's another something that comes up. And we're in this waiting room, and instead of focusing on that issue and what's going on, I should be focusing on, all right, God, what do you want to teach me in the middle of this? God, how do you want to change me? How do you want to stretch me? What do you want me to look like on the other side of this so I can make the biggest influence and impact for your name's sake where you've placed me? And instead of focusing on these things, I focus on what he should be and what he is doing in my life. Waiting is not all that bad when we realize who we're waiting for. And we shouldn't despair when God takes what we feel like is a long time in his response, but continue to patiently wait on him to work on our behalf. The reason God sometimes waits a long time to deliver is to extend the goodness of the final outcome. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 says, "So the Lord must wait for you to come to him so that he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help." Ultimately, waiting builds intimacy and dependence upon God. We read these amazing stories in Scripture because everyone had one thing in common. Every single one of them realized that their success in life was directly tied to their intimacy and their dependency upon God. And I've noticed that God usually works in the in-between times the most. I remember when Trisha and I were first dating, one of the things we got to do is we could go to Six Flags and hang out. And I love Six Flags. I love roller coasters. I love the thrill, that stuff. One of the things you hate about Six Flags, though, is the lines, right? There's this wait that always happens. Well, I remember it was different because in line, you're just right there with that person, and you can talk and flirt and hold hands. And we got to know each other more in the lines at Six Flags than we did on the ride at Six Flags. And that wait became something you almost looked forward to. It was something that built that intimacy, that built that dependence. And I believe that God works that way in our lives sometimes. In that waiting time, he's building that dependence that you need to have on him. He builds that intimacy that we need to have. It's the same with our faith. Waiting causes intimacy with God, and instead of running away from him, run towards him, because he's always worth it. The reason we get to read these stories of great men and great women is because they went through the difficulties of life with God. And in the end, they enjoyed the process with God and the promise of God. We may not always understand why we have to wait, but the good news is that God never asks us to wait without him. In the middle of Christmas season, we talk about this. God is Emmanuel. He is God with us, even when we're waiting on him. He's still capable and willing to move just as he has always done. And his timing is always perfect. So the question is, do you believe it? Do you believe that he's at work in the middle of this time that you're waiting? Do you believe that he hasn't given up and that his promises are still true? And as Pastor Steve would ask us, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about the fact that, you know what, maybe you're frustrated with God because he hasn't fixed your situation that you're going through right now? And I know, we over the last several months, we've talked with people who are struggling with job situations and family issues, and there's sickness, and there's these things that are going on, and they are shaking their fist at God. Why are we going through this? Why won't you do something? And maybe in those moments, he's saying, I just need you to wait. Because I got something bigger in plan. I'm at work, and I need you to learn to trust me. Don't be frustrated. Don't be impatient, because God is with you.